Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the second story taken from the fourth chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, entitled, Healing with a Purpose. The title of the podcast today is Horror on the Court. We're continuing our efforts to help anyone in the process of writing their book. Or maybe you still haven't started yet. Whatever your position or stage in your writing, remember, as we've talked about before, that writing is a process that is never really completed. Oh yes, you may finish the printed copy of your book at some point, but it's the contents that will remain imprinted in your mind long after your book is published. So, it's no different than before it's published. That is, the contents of the book are still in your mind even before you transfer those images from your mind to a written page in what will eventually become your book. You just hadn't put it on paper yet in the form of a book. The purpose of these series of podcasts is to encourage and to empower you to make that transition from the image that you've created in your mind to the reality of those ideas being translated into a printed book. Interestingly enough, modern technology has allowed it to be possible for your finished product not only to be a physical printed book, but also it could be an electronic or maybe even an audiobook. These are some of the topics that were discussed in a meeting I attended recently of professional writers. I want to summarize some of the more important points that were brought out with regards to the facilitation of producing a printed copy of the book you intend to complete. Near the end of the discussion at this meeting, the leader of the group began to talk about the Pomodoro method of writing that use the fruit of the tomato to assist you. That's right, a fruit that's supposed to help you in your writing. Now, what is that all about, you may ask? Without getting into the details, the idea of this method is to meet deadlines you might give yourself in the completion of a few pages of an eventual chapter in your book. By few, I mean, maybe only one or two pages. Now, that's something that's realistic, something that you could do, say, during a day's time. Or, if you put your mind to it, you probably could do a couple of pages within a few hours, or maybe even less than an hour. Or, you may end up completing a whole section of a chapter. Now, taking this line of thinking to its maximum, with this method, you could complete a whole chapter within a relatively short period of time, maybe within a week. The important thing to remember about the Pomodoro method is that you set aside a certain amount of time to do your writing, whether it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. What happens is that you preset a time for your completing a certain amount of content until a timer of some kind goes off. When it does, you have to stop to renew yourself. You may be allowed to continue for a few seconds afterwards if you're in the middle of a thought when the timer goes off. This is a safeguard in the system to decrease the likelihood of losing content because of a time limit. But the idea is that more often than not, by adhering to a strict time limit, you are more likely to utilize all of the time designated to write a certain amount of material. At this point, that is, at the end of a segment, don't worry about going back over it and editing what you've written. You can do that later. Just continue with the next segment so that your flow of thought will continue. I believe that with the Pomodoro method, you will end up with more than enough material to review later. And certainly, within a week's period, you'd have quite a bit of material to assess. Without this kind of time restriction, you may not produce the quantity of written material that could be released from your mind. Again, you can Google this approach, the Pomodoro method, to get more information on it. Another method to help you in your writing efforts mentioned by the presenter at the meeting I attended is the write or die method. With this method, you use a software program that allows you to write within a certain time limit, and if you stop anywhere within that pre-designated period, you would lose the material you've written. It's a way of forcing you to continue writing until the end of the time limit without being penalized. Again, as with the Pomodoro method, you can Google this approach to get more information on it. The last approach that was discussed at the meeting I attended that you might find useful is the written kitten method. With this method, again, you have a time limit for writing, and at the end of that period, a kitten will come up on the screen to give you some sort of feeling of accomplishment, presumably to encourage you to continue in your writing efforts. Well, I hope this helps, and remember to go online and get more information on any of these methods if you're interested. Now, let's get on with our story for the week. That is, after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back. For years, after the end of the school year, Everett faced the long period of summertime with his trips to the beach, basking in the sun and the cool waters of the unrelenting ocean tides. After getting his driver's license, Everett didn't have to depend on his mother to take him there. He just drove himself with an inexpensive car given to her by a friend. Everett's trips to the beach also included lounging around in the shade at a favorite restaurant on a seaside patio, gazing at the ocean waves and the distant beyond. Yes, Everett did this often during the summer, to visit the beach at every opportunity, usually at a resort not very far from his house in Whiteville. At the end of one summer, his high school football team did just that. They went to the beach, but their coach, Coach Johns, decided to take them to Atlantic City to participate in late summer drills, normally done on their high school athletic field. Coach Johns decided to visit a family member in this coastal resort, and he had arranged for the expenses for all the assistant coaches, trainers, and other staff to be paid in full at a seashore hotel. Everyone was certainly happy about that. As for Coach Johns, he had pre-planned the whole trip weeks prior and would say to himself, "Why not have our late summer workout in Atlantic City where I can see my brother Fred and have a little fun at night after we do the workouts during the day?" Coach Johns had sent a letter to the parents and guardians of each member of the football team to let them know of his intentions. He received an okay from all of them, including Everett's mother, Sarah. She certainly wouldn't have a problem with the arrangement because it meant one less mouth to feed around the house for 1 week before the beginning of the school year. Soon, the team would be off to Atlantic City for 5 days to participate in late summer workouts. They would leave Whiteville High on Monday morning and return the Friday evening The morning of departure was cool and crisp, as all the team members, including coaches, players, and trainers, gathered in front of Nichols Gym. The team's belongings were placed in the storage area of a huge bus that awaited them. The team then quickly boarded the vehicle, and soon they were on their way to Atlantic City. It was a relatively short trip, about 2 hours before the bus arrived at the hotel where everyone would stay. Everyone, that is, except Coach Johns, who had arranged to stay with his brother Fred. He would leave his assistant coaches to oversee the players in his absence during the evenings at the hotel. Meanwhile, he would stay at his brother's house in the evenings and meet again with the players the next morning. After checking into the hotel, situated right along the seashore, the first thing Everett wanted to do was to go to the beach. While everyone else was more interested in having a good meal and relaxing in the lounge, Everett really enjoyed the ocean and was determined to take advantage of it now. He often dreamed about it back at home. He really enjoyed the serenity of the beach environment and looked forward to experiencing it firsthand on the first day of the trip. He knew the remainder of the week would be focused on those football drills, and he did look forward to doing that because he wanted to be the best football player he could be. Besides, he knew the coach would work all of them very hard the whole week, and the players would be too tired to do anything else but rest in the evenings. So, Everett decided to take this opportunity now to go to the beach. After arriving in his room, Everett put on his swim trunks and off he went to the beach, which happened to be only a stone's throw from the hotel patio, just to relax. On the way to the beach, he stopped by a soda shop on the boardwalk and got a soft drink and some chips. Then, off he went to find the nearest available beach umbrella that was stuck in the sand. Everett got situated in that spot and then just sat there, relaxed and listening to the roaring waves of the ocean. He took the opportunity to meditate on the coming football season while at the same time avoiding any thought of the intensive drills that would occur the next day and for the remainder of the week. His teammates understood that their star wanted to be alone often. It was his way of preparing for athletic competition. After about an hour of relaxation, Everett went back to his room to rest for the long day of workouts on tomorrow and for the remaining 4 days. Thank goodness each player had separate room accommodations. This was one of the benefits of being a part of one of the premier high school sports programs in the state. At any rate, he was ready now for the strenuous workouts that were sure to come over the next several days. On the fourth and final day of the drills, everyone would pack their belongings for their return home later that afternoon. After the drills were completed by late afternoon, they were on their way back to Whiteville. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Everett enjoyed his time away from football over the summer going to beaches to meditate, not to mention his time spent working out in Atlantic City. Well, not so much the workouts, but the time he had spent on the beach just meditating about his life as an athlete, which meant both playing football and basketball. And speaking of basketball, it was a time to catch up on his skills in that sport, and his friend Josh certainly provided help in that regard prior to those late summer drills. But now summer was over and his usually friendly competition with Josh playing basketball as well as those late summer drills, would soon be over. Yes, at last the summer was over, and it was back to school. The fall was a period of new beginnings, especially for those who prepared for the rigors of classroom learning, hoping to earn the grades necessary to propel them to graduation, and then to enter college. For an athlete like Everett, going to college was important because it would provide an avenue where, after playing a year or two in some prestigious basketball program where he could excel, he could then be drafted by some professional team. Earl's focus in his high school career was solely about earning a spot on some college basketball roster and then being drafted by a professional team that valued his exploits on the basketball court. While Everett was a good student, his studies were not the highest priority for him. He was mentally focused on athletic competition and especially his participation on the football team. That is, until the basketball season rolled around. But now, it was football, and Everett acknowledged the long football season that was ahead of him. The mild autumn weather brought a reprieve from the hot, humid conditions around New York City during the summer that encouraged many to visit the numerous beaches in the area. But in Whiteville itself, most of the attention was centered on the high school football team and the upcoming season. As the season began, everyone in town seemed to be so excited. On a typical Friday evening when a home team was scheduled at Whiteville High, people from the community often began tailgating soon after work to start the weekend. Usually the game started at 8, and fans would begin gathering within designated tailgating areas around the stadium by 6. The aroma of smoked turkey wings, chicken, fish, grilled hot dogs, hamburgers, and steak transformed the area into a carnival-like atmosphere. After enjoying all the food and drink, fans were ready to enjoy a cool evening of football, expecting the home team to win and their star, Everett, to have a good game. Once the game started, everyone's attention would be on the field, especially when Whiteville was on offense, because that would be when Everett often showed off his football skills, running, faking opposing players out of their shoes, and scoring touchdowns. But the one touchdown that they all would remember was the one that sent his team to the state championship game on that Friday night. Everyone was so happy. The football field was flooded with fans, coaches, and players, as well as a few media outlets, some being from the big city itself. Yes, it was a spectacle at night. But win or lose, the Whiteville High School football team was treated to a special event the following day. And yes, the event was another football game, this time at a local college. The team would be given a pass to attend the local Central College football game. The football teams from the local high schools, Whiteville High along with Newland High, where Everett's friend Josh attended, were treated like rock stars. They were given perks not afforded to the average fan, like being recognized as a team at halftime, with Whiteville's players being on one end of the football field and Newland High players being on the other end. Only on Sunday was there time to recover from the week's football activities. Even at the end of a typical week in the fall, the excitement continued for Everett as he watched his favorite professional football team play Sunday afternoon on TV. He rooted for the team that played only a few miles further south in the big city. He always loved the local professional teams, whether it was football or basketball. What a better way to relax than to cheer for your favorite team while lounging on the couch eating popcorn and enjoying a refreshing beverage. The whole weekend during the football season was consumed by that sport and the activities associated with it at every level, whether high school, college, or professional football. The football season progressed through the months of September and October, and by November, the season was about to come to an end. It was a difficult time for Everett because he had to balance finishing the football season with beginning practice for the upcoming basketball season. He also had to maintain his excellent academic record by continuing to have good study habits. The football team did not do as well in Everett's senior year as it had the previous one, but he still made the All-Star team. Josh continued to come to Everett's football games, sometimes at the expense of attending games at his own high school, where his team was playing at home. This one action showed Everett how sincere Josh was in supporting him as a football player. But Everett, as well as Josh, really looked forward to the upcoming basketball season, because that was when they would be competing against one another, head to head. Both Everett and Josh were expected again to be top players on their teams, and they were even more competitive with each other than ever. Josh had the advantage of having practiced his basketball skills throughout the football season. Besides, Josh was intent on being more competitive than he was the previous season, especially against his rival, Everett. After all, they both were seniors, and the college scouts would be there to evaluate prospective recruits. So, it was a passion for Josh. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Everett had just finished the football season, but without his team going to the state championship game as they had done the year before. At least he could continue to celebrate his team as reigning state champions, because they ended up being victorious in that championship game the year before. The current season, although not as fulfilling as the previous one because they would not be the number one football team in the state, it was somewhat enjoyable because they lost only two games. Having just completed another enjoying, though unsuccessful, football season because they failed to win the state championship, Everett finally began to focus on basketball. He was attracted to basketball at a young age. At around 5 or 6, Everett's father purchased a rim and a small basketball for him and attached the rim to a tree in his backyard. His father had adjusted the net to Everett's height, which was only about 5 feet at the time, but still very tall for his age. At that young age, Everett went outside every day after school to play his brand of basketball, which was him throwing, or more accurately, placing the ball in the rim, then taking it out of the net and throwing or placing it back again. His 6-year-old version of a dunk was at full display, even at that young age. Since the ball did not go through the net to the ground, young Everett had to take it out of the closed net and start over again. As Everett grew older and taller, his father bought him a basketball set with a backboard, rim, and net that was attached to a pole. Everett's father then placed the pole in the ground and secured it at a good location in the backyard where Everett could dribble around on the ground and practice his game. Everett continued his interest in the sport at that time. That was how it all started for Everett, playing basketball. But he had an interest in football as well. By his senior year, a long season was rapidly coming to a close. Everett began to really look forward to playing the game he loved best, which was basketball. He soon had to prepare for the school's first game of the basketball season, which was against his best friend, Josh. After only a few days removed from playing football, Everett now had to focus on joining his basketball teammates in daily practice sessions after school. In the last practice before the big game, Everett was as competitive as usual against the other guys on the team. Everett said to his teammates as he walked onto the court, "Okay, you guys, I'm back playing ball. Yeah, there's a new sheriff in town, and we're gonna kick some butt this year." Then a teammate yelled back at Everett in response, "That's the spirit, Everett. We need some confidence around here." After a few warm-ups, the coach called everyone over to do some drills. Everett's mind flashed back to the drills he had in Atlantic City before the football season began. But make no mistake, this was basketball, and Everett was every bit serious about playing the game as he was football, maybe even more so. At the end of those 20 minutes of drills, the coach divided the team up into the starting five, where Everett was the captain, and the subs were to play that starting five. After about 20 minutes into the first scrimmage of practice, Everett suddenly collapsed on the floor. One of his teammates, who was the first to recognize that he was in trouble, yelled, Hey guys, Everett is down. Someone, get the trainer over here." His teammates quickly gathered around him to see what the problem was, although it appeared that he had not suffered a physical injury. He was now lying on the floor and needed help getting off the court. Several players helped to carry him to the bench. Soon after that, he went to the locker room so that more attention could be paid to his condition. As practice continued, without their star player, Everett's teammates tried to remain focused, but they could not function as they had before. They all were concerned about Everett. His personal health was in jeopardy, and no one knew if he could play the first game the next night in the school's gymnasium. While they were excited about the first home game, everyone on the team, from the players to the coaching staff and all the fans in attendance, were more concerned about their star player, Everett. He had been taken to the hospital for further examination, but was later released in time to attend his team's first game, not as a participant, but as a spectator in a suit and tie, sitting with his teammates on the bench. As the first game was about to start, it was clear that it would be without Everett. Just before it was time for the game to begin, it was announced that he had a season-ending condition and would not have the opportunity to play again in front of the home crowd. Everyone was devastated. The gym was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. Amidst the somberness of the occasion, someone from the stands yelled, "Hang in there, Everett." Another voice blurted out, "We love you, Everett." Everett turned around and looked at the fans while sitting on the bench with his teammates and gave a thumbs up to them. Suddenly, quietness turned to cheers as the fans gave Everett a well-deserved recognition for what he had done for Whiteville High, as well as for the community as a whole. The game went on, and Josh had an unusually poor game, at least up to halftime. No doubt, much of his mind was on his friend Everett. Let's take another break, and we'll be back to finish the show. Welcome back. At halftime, there was a brief ceremony celebrating Everett's career at Whiteville High. Everyone knew he would never play in that gym again, and a great sadness was shared by all present. Before halftime ended, Josh came over from his team's bench to meet Everett and give him a hug. In a surprising move, before returning to join his teammates, Josh took the microphone that was lying on the scorer's table situated between both benches. He expressed some comforting words to the fans and particularly to Everett. He took the mic and said, "Tonight is a sad night, not only for Whiteville High, but also for me. You see, me and Josh go way back to elementary school when we competed against each other. When we first started playing, it wasn't on a basketball court. It was on a dirt surface in your mama's backyard. You remember that, Everett?" Josh asked this question while gazing squarely into Everett's eyes, who was sitting with his teammates further down the court. When he said those words, tears began to build in his eyes, but he didn't give himself a chance to cry openly. He just stared at the crowd for a few seconds. It was an emotional moment, especially for Everett, as he too shed a tear at that moment. Yes, the crowd was as devastated as Josh was about the condition of his friend, and Josh dedicated the remainder of the season to Everett, his most fierce competitor. His words were full of compassion for his friend. He finished by saying, directing his words toward Everett, "This season can't be the same, buddy, without you playing. I'll be praying for you the whole time for a quick recovery." After Josh's remarks, it seemed as though there was no dry eye in the gym. After addressing the crowd, and Everett in particular, Josh returned to his team's bench and began to weep uncontrollably. As his teammates consoled him, he soon got himself together, and they all began to prepare for the second half of the game by taking a few warm-ups. The open display of affection from one friend to another damn the importance of the game itself, not to mention the competitive rivalry between the two players that would never be again. Josh played a little better in the second half than in the first, but his team still lost the game. It was a bittersweet ending with the home team winning, but realizing that they no longer had their star player. Through this experience, Josh finally realized what was really important in life. It was a type of healing for him, placing the importance of a game beneath that of a genuine relationship between two gifted athletes. But it was a healing for Everett as well. Yes, a healing with a purpose, because he came to realize that playing basketball was not the most important thing in life. The friendships we all establish are among the most important things to be cherished and maintained. After the horror that took place on the basketball court, it seemed as though all of what Everett had worked for in athletic competition had gone down the drain. He had dreamed of becoming a professional basketball player ever since he was a little boy. Everett's dream seemed to indicate that he was on the road to fulfilling that goal, when he developed into a star athlete in both football and basketball at Whiteville High. Plus, he did well academically and was ready to receive a scholarship to a major college where he anticipated further development of his skills as a top-notch player ready to be selected to play for some professional team. Yes, things looked bright for Everett until that fateful night, the night of the first game of the basketball season. While his illness manifested itself initially at practice the day before, it was not until that first game of the season on the next night when all of Whiteville High understood that it was the end for their star basketball player. Everett looked forward so much to taking his skills to a professional level that hardly nothing else mattered. Then those plans were drastically altered on that night of horror on the basketball court. Well, we'll continue with our story the next time. So much for now. And remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep this in mind. And certainly in this story, we have to remind Everett that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.